Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for August 12th. It's brought to you in part by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and steaming along with me in Tokyo is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy? Keeping cool?
I am. I got the air conditioner going. My air conditioner has overdrive, and it's in overdrive today.
Do you have to shift the button on there?
You do. It's a manual,
automatic or a stick?
It's a manual transmission on this puppy. It looks like a Ford Mustang stapled to the wall up here.
It has been cooking out here, so be careful. Get your fluids and your sodium to go with it. Don't forget you need that to keep the fluids inside, or else you just become a pipe. You don't want that.
I'm gonna move on from that. I'm not giving health advice on this show.
Well, on this week's show, we've got an interview with Randy Williams of the Save Alliance, and we're gonna discuss the incredible Masahiro Tanaka and his winning streak, or streaks, and we're gonna hit some other topics and answer a listener question, so let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
Okay, the second half is underway, and you can catch all the Giants home games as they make the stretch drive for the Central League pennant. If you live in the United States, go to oneworldsports.com and find out how to watch Giants live games at home. All right, now, a couple of weeks back, I said that the Bay Stars were four games in back of Hanshin when they were actually nine, because I was looking at so many places or locations, and I looked at the one that has something else. So anyway, to make a long story short, I was wrong.
There's two tables in Japan. One that has American style, how many games you are out of first place. And the other one, which is probably a little more common, is how many games are you behind the team ahead of you?
Right.
So at that point, the Bay Stars happened to be not, I think, 9.5 games behind the.
Yeah, they were, nine plus. That's correct.
Right, there were 13.5, but the table John was looking said 9.5 because they were 9.5 behind the Tigers. So John did his math, and if they're nine and a half behind the Giants, they were four games behind the Tigers.
Yeah,
so
that was not right.
Anyway.
And then last week we referred to as the former second baseman for the Hanshin Tigers.
Keiichi Hirano as Keiichi Hirai. So we were talking about Oryx and Keiichi Hirano, except we said I inadvertently said Keiichi Hirai.
I don't even think you mentioned his first name, so I think it was just Hirano that you mentioned, and that's fine. We'll correct it here.
I don't want people confuse him with Masafumi Hirai, who is back with Oryx as well this year. It's kind of an old home year.
Yeah, go back. Yeah, Terahata, back
you
to football.
From-
All right, well, no. And the next thing we have to apologize for, no singing from you. And the next thing we have to apologize for is a lost interview.
Okay, yeah, sorry, Brian. I went up to Cebu Dome on Wednesday.
Wednesday is correct.
And I spoke, Brian Wolf was gracious enough to speak to us for an interview, and I was trying to save juice on my podcast, and unfortunately I also in doing that, I was unable to save the file that had Brian Wolf's very interesting.
Don't say that.
It was interesting. I'm sure it was. Well, you know, I sent you the notes.
Yeah, and I read them.
It was quite interesting. Talked about short rest and this and that and Mr. Otani and this and that. And it was quite engaging. So, Brian, I'm not going to pest you in the immediate future, but we want more of that brilliance on our show.
Right. So we apologize for losing that. So I went out the next day on Thursday. And I talked to Randy Williams of the Save Alliance. He's one of their relievers, one of the many they have had this year.
Yeah.
It's his second year in the league. He's got an ERA of around 1.5 over his one plus seasons here. Mm-hmm. He's got 65 strikeouts in 63 innings. He's got a whip of 1.175, which is pretty good. And his K rate per nine is like 10.5 almost, which is nice.
That's what you want from your left-handed relievers, babe.
But his walk rate is kind of high. It's over a little bit over 6. So
if anybody tells you, throw strikes.
Uh-oh.
You listen
not,
to
them. I'm not going there. And so, the Lions are in third place. They're four games over 500. We're coming up on 100 games played now, and he's thrown in 28 of them this year. He has a loss and no wins, but, you know, the previous night he got saved from a loss. Hideto Asamura hit a walk-off three-run homer to turn around a two-run deficit. And, you know, they're 4-5 in August, the Lions are. They're just like the other teams. They're looking to put together a streak, but nobody's just been able to do it except for the Eagles. Could this be the year? This is really looking like the year for those guys.
It is looking like the year.
But we still have a lot of baseball to play. But anyway, let's take a listen to what Randy had to say.
We're glad to be joined again by Randy Williams. What's happening, man? It's been a long time.
Not much. How's it going?
I'm just a little warm, but I'm doing all right.
Yeah, it's nice to be in a dome, but it's still hot.
This is no dome, dude. This is a sauna.
Yeah, you could say that.
All right, now last year when we spoke, you had just been made the closer, and since then you've had some different roles. So talk about your role now and if you're settled in as one particular role now.
Oh, I don't try to get too settled in. I mean, I've had pretty much every role from 6th inning to 12th inning to minor league pitcher, so I guess I've got to experience them all. I'm quite content now throwing primarily the 8th inning and, sometimes the 7th if need be. It's not really been an issue so much as to what I'm doing as much as it is what we need at the time. You know, we have somewhat of a transition going on in our bullpen, mm-hmm. You know, from week to week and trying to fill.
Week to week, is it?
Hey.
Not day to day.
Sometimes. Depends how we're playing. But, you know, with a lot of turnover, you know, sometimes you have to adjust your role. But, you know, it seems like as this year is going on, it's a lot like last year. You know, people start, you know, settling in and getting a groove. And, you know, I like throwing the 8th inning. You know, I like throwing 7th, 8th, 9th, somewhere where it means something. And, you know, I like coming in whenever the situation gets tight. So, you know, for me, that's fine. That being said, if they need me to do something else, I'll do that too. So.
All right. Now, what adjustments have you made throwing the Japanese batters now that you've had a year plus to work on it?
You know, being quick to the plate was something that it was just a necessity last year in their eyes, and so that was something that, you know, cost me a lot of time in the minor leagues trying to figure that out and mm-hmm. get comfortable with it. And it's kind of a two-way street. You know, I come in here and they want me to play the game their way, and then I'm trying to show them what I can do. And I think last year having success at the end of the year, it really allowed them to see what I was capable of, and also showed them that I could do it, you know, their way. And you know, that really it made it a lot easier for me this year.
Mm-hmm.
So basically coming in with without having to work on as much. And being quick to the plate, which, of course, is a necessity here. No matter how much as a first-year guy you want to say you can do it your way, it is a necessity here. And, you know, developing a slider last year, the two things that they really said I needed to do that I wasn't so sure that I needed to do,
mm-hmm.
turns out that I needed to do it, and it's worked out well for me.
Good. All right. Now, what's your assessment of the rotation? I think there's some young guys. Nishiguchi tonight is getting his first start of the year. How do you see this rotation?
We said young guys, and then you said Nishiguchi starting. I know you weren't meaning it that way, but yeah, it's been an interesting year, you know, to start out the year in spring training. You know, some of the guys from the pen last year being starters this year, you know, you could see that coming, and knowing it was going to be their first year starting, you didn't know what to expect. You know, and some of the guys that have been around that, you know, had proven themselves, you know, started off the season a little slower than they wanted to. But it's been really nice watching these guys. You know, for the most part, I look at everybody as a young guy, you know, compared to me, but, well, I guess except for Nishiguchi. But, you know, they come out and start the season the way they did and, you know, prove that they can do it. You know, I think they've opened a lot of eyes and actually, you know, made progress even though they started hot. So, you know, it's good. You know, you have ups and downs as a starter throughout the year, but it's, you know, it's been a situation where you can pretty much count on a guy giving you a chance every night.
Right. Now, yeah, I did mention Nishiguchi along with the young guys, but Ishii, Wakui, those guys have kind of struggled, and it seems like they're kind of lost as well in terms of what their roles are. They're trying to find new roles.
Well, I mean, shoot, I think any pitcher that plays long enough is going to go through a period in which they're trying to either reinvent themselves or figure out what's going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you go through those times, you know, sometimes the you know, the consistency of what you're doing isn't what you need, and, you know, hopefully that, you know, a little bit of a change can spark them and get them right back where they need to go, because, you know, I've seen it, I've done it, you know, it's one of those things, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again expecting different results, you know, some people call you insane.
Yeah, there's a wall there. Quit banging into it. Yeah, I see where you're coming from now. I saw this as a transition year because you had guys like Togami and Nogami and young pitchers, even Yusei Kikuchi, who was deactivated today. But we didn't exactly know what they were going to give us. One of the guys is a second-year player. The other guy is a fourth-year player. So I saw this as maybe a transition year, but how did you guys see it coming in?
I mean, you always come in saying you think you're going to win, but whenever you lose, you know, your shortstop and you know your four whole hitters out for most of the year, it's, you know, it's a situation when you're coming into spring, you're kind of looking to see who's going to step up, and it's a tough situation whenever, you know, when you have Nakajima that you know, is a superstar, and, you know, all the guys are basically, you know, I don't want to say in their shadow, but whenever you watch the games and you look at what's going on, he's expected to do a lot of heavy lifting as well as Nakamura was. So coming into spring training, there was a situation where the guys could either, you know, hang their heads and say, how are we going to do this, or try to become that next guy. And, you know, that first month of the season, it looked like everybody was out there trying to become that next guy. It was pretty amazing. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, sold us short at the end of the year. And, if anybody tells you that they expected what happened that first month, I'd have to say they weren't telling the complete truth, because that was pretty amazing, especially the way, you know, a lot of the young first-year guys stepped up. It was nice.
Yeah. In terms of the race now, I mean, the Eagles look like they're for real, but you guys are right there in terms of getting a playoff spot. What is the key to the push here?
It's,
besides the obvious pitching and some kind of
hitting. It's about consistency. I mean, it's about, you know, getting that, you know, some of the guys that were started off hot and maybe, you know, lost it a little bit, getting that consistency they had early. You know, a lot about our hitters staying hot, about our hitters that have, you know, that have been working hard all year, you know, maintaining that drive and trying to keep improving, dealing with this heat, you know, getting through it. A lot of teams have to come here and play in our dome. So, you know, we're used to it.
Yeah.
Okay, sauna, whatever. But it's just a thing of being able to continue through. The amount of work that they do here, you know, it's I don't know if anywhere in the game in the world the game is played as hard and practiced as hard as it is here. So maintaining the energy level and the drive throughout the rest of the year is pretty much going to dictate who gets those, you know, top three spots.
All right, now you guys had a big walk-off home run, down two runs last night, three-run shot to give you a win. How big a deal is that for teams? Does it really give you momentum like the media and the fans think it does?
You know, sometimes I think it does and sometimes it doesn't. But as far as last night goes, I know I was really appreciative, you know, being as I was out there, you know, about to get the L and haven't felt like I let the team down. It's never a good feeling. So whenever somebody can come and take that burden off of you in that situation, because, you know, nobody wants to be the reason that we lose a game. And, you know, that helps me, and it shows, you know, if somebody doesn't get the job done, somebody else can. And I think in the situation last night, it definitely, it shows us, you know, we can do it no matter the situation if we can get guys on base and get the guys up there that we need up there.
Yep, I saw that. Now we have a listener who has a young son. He's 9 years old, and he's a pitcher, and he wanted some advice as a pitcher. He used to live here in Japan. What kind of advice can you offer?
The best advice, go left-handed.
He's already there. No, I think he's right-handed. I saw a picture of him.
No, man, just throw strikes. That's, you know, I don't care what age you are. If you can throw strikes, it makes the game a lot easier. You watch me pitch sometimes, and you're thinking, hey, why didn't he heed his own advice?
I'll be yelling that at the TV for you.
I think everybody is.
All right, Ben. It's good talking to you. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, Randy, thank you very much, buddy. It was funny. It was really funny. As I'm talking to him, he's the one who did his workout. You know how the pitchers usually work out and they come back to the dugout area. And I'm sweating like a dog. And he's not sweating at all. I don't get it. He's the one who was working out. I'm just standing there.
he's too cool for that.
Yeah, he's cool, all right. He's a cool customer. I like him. It was good talking to him. What stood out in the interview for you? I'm sure there were a couple things.
A couple of things, indeed. Yeah. Well, first of all is, you know, I've heard it, you know, you hear this mantra every player has to stick with what works to be successful. They have to, players have to be able to ignore the extraneous and focus on what they do well. And mm-hmm. part of that is ignoring advice that doesn't apply to you. And this, what Randy's talking about is, I know what works for me. This doesn't apply to me. Well, the problem is that some of the advice that you get does apply to you.
And you're talking about holding runners on.
And it's, yeah, the slide step, yeah. And being quicker to the plate. So that applied to him in particular. That doesn't mean, you know, I think Japanese coaches tend to overcoach or over, you know, bombard people with information because it's their job to bombard players with information.
Mm-hmm.
And half because they're expected to do it and half because they think some of it's important. So you could take a lot of that with a grain of salt, but in this case, it he hit the spot where, this was necessary. Shockeroo.
Mm.
So, it's always good it's often hard to admit that we are, I don't want to put this, I'm going to say this from my own standpoint. It's hard to admit that I have been arrogant and willfully ignorant because I thought I knew everything. And I'm not certain if that could be applied to Randy because, you know, this is Randy's situation and not mine.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's a very human thing. You know, I know this. I know where I am. I can do it. This is baseball. You know, this is writing. This is, riding a bicycle or whatever. Smack into the wall.
Yeah.
Bam. Wow. What was I missing?
Yeah.
You know?
Right, and I've talked to a lot of coaches and other teams, and they have a certain program that you have to go through. You have to be able to hold runners on in a certain way. You have to make sure that you get the ball to the plate, and you're still effective as a pitcher, because, of course, the guy with the stick in his hand is the guy who can hurt you more so than the guy who's running on the bases. But you don't want to let these runners, especially in late-game situations and tight-game situations, if they're running all over you and you're giving up a couple hit, a dunker somewhere or a little bloop somewhere, you know, that means a run if a guy's in scoring position. So it's important, and I guess he's saying that he learned that. You know, it took some time. He had to spend a lot of time on the farm and getting up a lot early for a lot of day games. But,
sure.
You know, he's got it down at least to where he can stay on the first team.
Mm. Okay, well, that was one thing to me. And the other one is the advice about throwing strikes. Now, I'm not, you know, throw strikes. I think if you're a young pitcher, that's really important. But if you only throw strikes, let's say you have extreme control and you've decided you're not going to throw a ball all year, well, you're making your life harder than it has to be.
Exactly.
I think it's a case of be able to throw strikes consistently is the advice, and get used to throwing strikes. You can't run away from the zone. I mean, you got to get people out. You essentially get people out in the zone, and they get themselves out of the zone.
Mm-hmm.
So you work in the zone until you have the luxury of going out and getting guys to chase.
Well, I'm not even sure that I agree with that. That you get guys out in the zone and they get themselves out of the zone. I would say throw strikes. I don't know if this is advice because I've never pitched, so I can't say that this is great advice. But if I were a pitcher, I would say to somebody who wants advice, be able to control the ball.
Mm.
Because if you can get it where you want it, then you can make pitches that are not strikes appear to be strikes. And that's how you get guys out. Because you get them swinging at things that they think are going to be strikes when they end up not being strikes.
Well, that goes with the other side of the coin, which is movement.
Yeah.
If you don't have movement, it pretty much doesn't matter whether you can throw. If you throw the pitch, the ball in the plate in the zone, you're going to get smacked. And if you throw it outside of the zone, they're going to walk.
Right.
So, basically, you need movement. But you have to be able to locate your pitches. So you can't throw things in the strike zone to be able to get into a – the advantage of being able to throw pitches in the zone and to throw pitches that move where you want them in the zone, more or less, to keep it in the zone in general, is that you dictate the pace of the game.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, well, we'll see if he, I think this is a pitch he can't hit, and if I throw it outside, maybe he'll swing. You know, you're making a little toss up there.
Yeah.
So the point is that if your goal is to get guys out, you've got to be able to determine what you're doing and not be putting things out there for other people to decide the game.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to decide it anyway, but
yeah. And the other thing I would say is you have to be able to pitch inside. You have to work both sides of the plate on hitters so that, when they set up and they're looking at a particular location, you can fool them. Because if you're pitching always outside, you can't get them to reach and chase things. You got to be able to pitch inside and then make them reach.
Yeah. Well, and that's like most advice. There are always exceptions. I mean, Terry Collins used to, drag out couple of guys. No, this guy could always work outside. You couldn't get this guy to throw inside. And that's true. There are guys who just don't work inside and are successful, but they're the exception rather than the rule.
Okay. The thing that hit me was the phrase that he said, our bullpen's in transition. And I think you remember me laughing and saying,
I think the transition is between the first team and the farm team.
Yeah.
It's good as it's a shuttle. It's just over the hill.
I was just going to say, because the Dome Junior is, it's not a Dome Junior, it's an outside stadium.
Yeah. Cujo is just on the other side of the ridge.
It's so close, they can just yank a pitcher who probably even threw earlier in the day and stick him on the first team just so they can get a body out there. There's so many guys have gone through. I went through and counted. They have 17 saves as a team.
Right.
Tied for the fewest in the league with SoftBank.
Okay.
The Eagles have 24 saves. Lotte has 27 saves, and Masuda, Naoya Masuda, has 26 of those saves. Oryx has 22 saves, and Hirano has all of those for them. Yoshihisa Hirano, their fine closer, and then Nippon Ham has 24 saves, and Hisashi Takeda only has 17 of those. So I mean, the Lions, Sarfate has. Rudendis Sarfate, who I did see, we fist bumped during the interview. I don't know if you could tell because I kind of got confused and asked a question that I really.
You started talking to the tattoo or what?
No, I just gave him a fist bump as he was walking by. They're transitioning bullpen. They've had a lot of guys pitch, a lot of guys have saves. I think there's five guys with at least one save. You remember Tatsuya Oishi?
Tatsuya Oishi. Yeah, he pitched the other day, got hammered.
Yeah, he was pitching well for them last year with a lot of say, and he's not doing well. Remember Hideaki Wakui?
Yeah, he was their ace. In fact, he still is their ace, and he's still the guy they're trying to trade, and he's the guy who keeps getting dumped out of the starting rotation because he can't pitch. And
yeah, I don't think he's an ace. He's a card.
imply he's intentionally funny instead of somebody who just does silly, funny things.
I don't know. Well, I don't think he's a face card. He's just a card.
we're not going to go there.
You remember Kazuhisa Ishii?
Sure.
Yeah, I saw him throwing the other day. I mean, their bullpen is the one thing they've gotten some production out of it, so I can't say it's holding them back. But it might hold them back in the end because I don't think people know what they're doing, where they're going to be. And you know how I like roles, and I think roles are important. And I don't think you can throw some guys into some roles that they're not used to or not comfortable in when you're in a race for it could be for second place. It could be for first place. We don't know yet because there's still a lot of baseball to play, but.
Well, Wakui's been the closer. So he was excellent at it last year.
He did a great job. I don't know.
And so with the exception of a couple of at-batters this year, he's been really good. I think really that's his future.
Well, I tell you this, and we talked, Randy and I talked after the interview, and I said, hey, look, when I was evaluating this team, when I was looking at this team and thinking about it, and, of course, I was thinking about this season because I wanted to do my predictions, but I also wanted to think down the line. Mm-hmm. And I said, look at these pitchers and these young players they have who are so good. Shogo Akiyama and Hideto Asamura. These guys have blossomed better than I thought they would. Takeya Nakamura Okawari-kun, we know he's going to figure back into the situation next year, but who would think he was going to be out this long? I don't know if he's going to come back at all to get some swings and try to get back in or not this season, but look at the rotation. Ken Togame.
Yep.
Ryoma Nogami. They're getting the experience
of working.
Not quite,
but I love
Nogami.
Togami.
Yeah.
Togami. I love his stuff.
Okay, so you look at him, and then Kikuchi, we know he's injured. He's got shoulder trouble. We don't know how bad it is, blah, blah, blah. These guys have really not pitched a whole season, but they were getting that experience this year. Takayuki Kishi and then Kazuhisa Makita. That's a great rotation right there, those five.
Well, Kishi it is, but Kishi's, you know, we know it, and I want to be really simple and oversimplistic about it and say he's never been the pitcher. He hasn't been himself since the 2008 Japan series. They'll blame it all on that series.
Yeah, but he's still a good 4 or 5 pitcher in that rotation for him if he can take the ball once a week.
Yeah.
And that's a good rotation. This team is set up to win next year.
I think
they're going to be really tough next year.
I think they could be really tough this year, but they just haven't been. Yeah, they just haven't been. I don't have an answer for that.
And that's why I've thought that, you know, and you even heard Randy say it in the interview that he thought, who would have thought we would have those first 2 months the way, you know, like we did. I think that was surprising for them. I think they overachieved. I think he knows it.
Yeah.
And because they did that, they haven't really been playing anything other than about 500 ball or so. Since then, but they built up enough of a stockpile of wins so that if they play 500 the rest of the season, I think they can be second or third place, and that's good enough. And then you get into the playoffs and you put those pitchers out there and you get them some good experience.
Of course there were a couple of things early in the season with them, but I like the team, and you know, to me, the thing was, the day they became an offensive team was, they already had the one piece that they knew was going to work was Kuriyama, as you know, is my favorite player on the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
And Esteban Hermon has been just deadly. I mean, he hasn't been the demon on the base paths. He's stolen quite a few bases, but he's been thrown out so many times that it's hard to consider that a plus. But he's played very good.
He's hitting well. He's getting on base.
And he's leading the league in on base percentage. And Asamura, as soon as they said, hey, you, guy who thinks he's a shortstop, just go to first base and bat fourth and shut up. Oh, okay. Can I hit like a first baseman now? Yeah. Can I hit like a cleanup hitter? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Ahead.
That's what I'll do.
And, you know, I talked to Hermon the other day. I went out there because, I was watching that game when Asamura hit the walk-off home run, and I'm sitting there on TV, and I'm thinking, okay, well, that's a fly out to right. But with the combination of the new ball or the old ball, whatever ball that they're using, and the fact that Hermon says this kid swings hard, that he's got a really hard swing and that he's quick in the zone. And he said Hermon was on second base, and I said, did you know it was gone when he hit it? And he said, no, I didn't think so. But then I saw the outfielder backing up the way he did, and I knew he wasn't going to catch it, so I took off running. And I said, yeah, I didn't think that ball was going out. That kid's got some power to the opposite field. He said he's got power to all fields.
Yeah.
You know, he can hit the ball and he's really good. So I think they're set up next year to be really, really good. If they can get their bullpen organized, and I think Walkley can be a fine, he can even be a setup guy. I don't think they even need him to close.
I think he's good. Ishii's had injury troubles. I mean, we were joking the other day in the press box. We were joking before Asamura's home run ruined all our evenings. We had to rewrite our stories. But we were joking about how the Lions are becoming a pitching history exhibit. They trotted out Nishiguchi the other day.
That was the night I was there,
yeah. I was like, wow. Shouldn't he like have a plaque on it?
Well, but he pitched well. You know, he could have won the game. Yeah, he pitched really well. Well, good luck to them. Thank you very much, Randy. We've got to move on, and we're never going to finish. And you know how the producer gets when we get close to an hour.
He gets cranky. Yes, it's a whining.
No, but I'm really excited to talk about Masahiro Tanaka Ma-kun. He wins the record, the Japan baseball record, 16th decision to open the season, 16th straight. And then it's now his winning streak of consecutive winning decisions is up to 20.
Yep.
He beat SoftBank on Friday at home, 5-0. He went 7 shutout innings, and they took him out after 92 pitches. And I thought, you know what? You know, I think this game is in order. But he had thrown 4 complete games, and I thought that was a really good move by the manager to give him some rest before he goes for this new record.
One of those complete games was also, I think, 92 pitches or 90 pitches. So that, it might have been the first or the second one.
Yeah.
But, you know, a good move by the manager. But when do Japanese managers think, this is the day I should not make the guy throw a complete game and give him rest for the future?
Yeah.
That is so un-Japanese. That's like, it's almost unpatriotic.
It was rare, and I saw some unpatriotic. I saw some things on Twitter, but I was fine with it.
I tweeted some.
Yeah, I was fine with it. I didn't think that was the problem.
I'm okay with it.
He's had a lot of tough innings, too.
I'm okay. Yeah, and also they hit him pretty good in the seventh inning. I mean, he faced 4 batters, but the first one was a wicked liner.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm okay with it if that's the point. But as so often in Japan, it's, wow, let's have let's play for the record. And I want to win the game. And I'm thinking 92 pitches. Who would I rather have on the mound? Koyama or Tanaka? And I'm going, well, let's see if you hack one of Tanaka's legs off, I'd rather have Koyama, but otherwise, no. So I'm thinking this sounds like it's for the record, but okay. Anyway, I'll just let bygones be bygones. It worked out. Koyama got lit up like he worked for GE.
Yeah. Well, not that badly, because they didn't give up any runs. I mean, he gave up a bunch of hits, but they kept him off the scoreboard. So,
now
I have some notes about this.
That's because Aoyama came in and saved the inning.
That's true. And I have some notes about the streak, and I went through all the games, and now I didn't do this to prove my some hypothesis. I just wanted to see what he had done. Now, I think if you remember a long time ago, I said when aces or opening day starters throw, they tend to throw the same day every week for a while, and they get kind of stuck in a rut. Mm-hmm. And if you're the opening day starter, you're going to face a lot of top line or front line pitchers because everybody starts on the same day and all that stuff. You remember about that before?
That is a hypothesis, but not necessarily a hypothesis regarding to your recent study.
Well, no, not directly, but if you recall, Tanaka played in the WBC this year, so he wasn't the opening day starter. He started the fourth game of the season, and by then he was facing, the number 4 pitchers in rotations. And since then, I mean, I don't want to demean his accomplishment because I think he's been fantastic, and after Friday's game, he acknowledged that this is a team effort and everyone's doing it. And I think everybody says that, but they don't always mean it. But in this case, I really think it's true because, number one, he hasn't really faced anybody I would really call an ace. And I went through all the games and all the opposing pitchers, and there were only 3 pitchers I think we could refer to as an ace. And one of them was Mitsuo Yoshikawa of the Fighters.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, MVP, I'll go with that.
He's a previous MVP, but he's now 6-9.
Yeah, I know, but at the time.
So he's not at the time he was considered an ace. During Interleague, he faced Daisuke Miura.
I go with that, yeah.
He's considered an ace. And then.
He is.
And then on, still in Interleague, he's faced Tetsuya Utsumi of the Giants.
I would put Jason Standridge in that caliber as well.
I would put him in that caliber. But I don't think he's considered the ace. I think Nomi is considered the ace, and that's
the ace
for that team. But he's certainly a great.
And that's because the Marines don't have any ace. Is another thing.
The Marines or the Tigers?
But he's faced the Lotte Marines. I mean, their ace is Yoshihisa.
Not to say who hasn't pitched.
Thank you. Who hasn't pitched? So.
Yeah.
I look at it. I think Utsumi definitely. Miura, definitely. And after that is a little slack.
All right, so I added
a lot of good pitchers.
Some of good pitchers, but nobody you would consider.
Shun Tono.
Yeah. Wow.
Although the guys he's faced, Kisanuki, have had, a lot of these guys have had quite good seasons.
I mean, well, let me, I'm not done. So let me,
go ahead.
So their combined winning percentage is 470 of all the pitchers who he has, who started against him this year.
Right.
And that's 87 and 98.
Right.
Now, the guys with winning records at the moment include Hiroshi Kisanuki of the Fighters.
Sure.
Utsumi, we already mentioned, of the Giants.
Yes.
He's faced Hanshin's rookie Shintaro Fujinami,
right,
whom he obviously beat. Masahiro Takeda of the Fighters.
He's got a winning record?
Has a winning record.
Wow.
I thought, yeah, 6-5 is what I have here. Maybe I didn't get it right. And then Hoashi, whom he beat the other day.
Right.
And those are the guys with winning records. So everybody else has either they're even or they're losing records, and that's now, as of now.
Of course, if you took out the games they lost to Tanaka, basically they're going to be above 500, I would think.
Some of them. I mean, he faced some guys. Like I said, he started that fourth game, and that's a lot of the pitchers, the opposing pitchers he's been facing have been guys who are not frontline starters. And therefore, this is the point that I want to make, because a lot of times I've always argued, or I've often argued, that these wins are kind of frivolous, or they're kind of
sure they are.
They're fickle. I mean,
sure,
a win, you can come in and throw one pitch and get a win sometimes,
sure,
as a reliever. The team hasn't been shut out once, obviously, since he has started any of the games this year.
When he started.
And he's got three no decisions.
Correct.
And the no decisions, you know, sometimes are really close games or something. That really wasn't the case. One time he even went out losing. In fact, I did the three games that he's had close calls. Mm. The first was a 2-1 win versus the Giants on May 22nd, and it was at home, and he allowed a leadoff home run to Hisayoshi Chono to start the game. But then that was it.
Right.
And then the Eagles tied the score in the bottom of the first, and then he allowed a few hits and a two-out triple in the fifth, but no more runs, and they ended up getting a run, and they won that game.
That was the June 3rd game?
That was May 22nd.
Oh, okay.
And then May 28th, Hanshin was leading 2-0 until the Eagles scored three runs in the seventh to
the
lead. And then they added four in the ninth to make that kind of a runaway. But Tanaka had left the game. This was a no decision for him. He left after six innings, and he was on the hook. But they took him off the hook, and then
he was okay. Not technically. When he finished pitching, he was on the hook.
Well, yeah.
But they scored three runs in the top of the next inning, so he was.
Well, that's he's on the hook.
No, because you're on the hook if the next pitcher comes in and you're losing.
No, but he went out of the game losing.
He did not go out of the game losing. He wasn't out of the game until he didn't come out to the mound for the next inning.
All right. So he went out after six innings. They scored the three runs in the top of the seventh and got him the lead. And then the next pitcher came in and gave up that lead, but he was already off the hook. He would have been the pitcher of record and would have gotten the win, but he didn't. The Eagles added four runs in the ninth, as I said, and, they end up winning that game.
Mm-hmm.
Another game was July 26th, and that was the recent one we talked about a couple weeks back, I think, when Tadahito Iguchi hit his 2,000th hit, and it was a home run that broke a 1-1 tie in the sixth inning. But the Eagles rallied for two runs in the ninth inning to win it. We talked about that show, of course, before. So was there another game that you had in mind that you thought?
Well, I was not thinking about that specifically, but there were a bunch of close games. But here's one for you. Now, he had three no decisions this year,
mm-hmm.
and he had three no decisions since let me take a step back. Since he last lost on August 19th, 2012, he's pitched in 26 games. Every single one has been a quality start.
Yep.
Meaning he has not allowed more than three runs in any start, and that's been just a couple of times. And he has not pitched fewer than six innings in any game.
And that was only one time, as I recall.
Yeah. Okay.
Every other time he's gone at least seven.
Right. Now, of those, and he has six no decisions in those games. In those six no decisions, the Eagles are 4-1-1.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's getting no decisions because he's leaving the mound with a loss and they're catching up after he's gone.
Gotcha.
You know, they're not bailing him out a great deal.
And that certainly wasn't what I was looking for. Anything.
Okay.
I was just looking to see what he had done and I noticed these things. I kept looking at the opposing pitchers thinking, well, it's no surprise that they weren't shut out because you can easily lose a game 1-0.
Right.
If you're facing an ace, and it's no surprise that they weren't shut out because they weren't facing ace level opposition.
Right. My point was being that 26 games in a row, and the pitcher after him, if there was a pitcher after him, never came in the game trailing.
Amazing.
To me, that's boggles the mind.
It boggles the mind. And, you know, as we move along in the show here, we're going to have to go to the next section, but I think it ties in. We want to talk about MVP candidates, and I think in the Pacific League, obviously, what Ma Kun is doing is impacting the team. Basically, I don't like to give an MVP to a pitcher in Japan, not so much so in the United States, but in Japan because they only work once a week, and their impact for me is not as consistent as an everyday player or a position player. And I really love what Casey McGee is doing for the Eagles. I think he's been really consistent. He's had steady production from the first pitch of the season. He hasn't had any huge slumps. He's been hot. You know, he goes hot from hot to maybe warm, but he's never really gone cold. I think Asamura is going to get some third place votes for what he's done. You know, I like a lot of what everybody, the top players have done. I can't think of anybody for Lotte right now.
I would think Iguchi is probably their big player.
Yeah, but I think Malcolm's impact has just been, it's made so much of a difference because the guys in front of him don't want to lose and put pressure on him to have to win his game, and the guys after him don't want to lose. And, you know, they only have two pitchers who have double digits in wins. That's Morimoto, the opening day starter, the rookie, and then Ma Kun. The rest of the guys are like 4 wins or 5 wins. And still they're winning. You know, they won a game tonight on Sunday where they just refused to lose and they kept putting up runs.
Well, I think Tanaka, you know, if the season ends today, then Tanaka's the MVP basically because everybody's talking about him.
Yes.
Now, to be honest, I think if we were to be honest, without running the numbers, I would think that the value of having a guy go out there and pitch an average of 7 or 8 innings once a week and having somebody like Casey McGee who's tremendous, you know, who has some defensive value as well, and who has a lot of offensive value in a fairly difficult hitters league and not a very good hitters park.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's actually a bigger element, but the fact is, everyone's talking about Tanaka, and it's hard to be the poster boy.
Yeah.
You know that there's something. There is something about that, and I know you've referenced this in the past. You know, if you're expected to do something and you do it with a kind of a dominance, you know, there's extra value for that. Nobody's expecting Casey McGee to be dominant, so I think I think Masahiro Tanaka deserves a little extra credit. He's also looking at pitching in the majors, and obviously you don't want to have a lousy, you know, he's got more to lose than anybody if he has a bad season.
Yeah.
I think I like him as an MVP candidate. And the other one is because the Pacific League really doesn't have any outstanding, offensive players this year, other than Asamura. And the outstanding offensive players are all kind of low defensive spectrum guys. They're basically first basemen. Iguchi and Asamura, and those two guys are probably the best hitters in the league right now.
Yep.
So go ahead.
Well, and I just wanted to move along.
Yep. Oh, well, move along, little doggies.
All right. So in the Central League, I think this one is going to be much more this race, and it's going to be much more interesting, in part because the writers are going to have a tough time picking someone off the Giants to exalt as their MVP.
Oh, I don't think so.
And
I think.
They're going to split a lot of votes, I think. I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. But to me, it's one look, and I know the MVP is obvious.
Really? Who?
Shinosuke Abe.
You think so? Again?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to get it this time, and I'll tell you
why. I don't know why.
I think they're tired of him. And he hasn't had that breakout. I mean, he's got 20 or so home runs, I know. And,
right.
But I think Shuichi Murata, the way he's been hitting recently, if he finishes the season even close to where he's been hitting for the past month, let's say, he's going to get it. And I think Hayato Sakamoto could get it because he's been really steady. I think they'll find a pitcher or somebody to give it to.
That's like saying, okay, well, I'm just looking at what they've done for the season, and Abe's offense is a mile ahead of what is
it
not
is.
A mile ahead of what Murata's done for the season.
It is. I agree.
And he's a catcher. I mean, and again, okay, the competition for the best players in the Central League are three players. Vladimir Ballantyne. Let's put it this way. The top three hitters in the league are Vladimir Ballantyne, Tony Blanco, and Shinosuke Abe.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of difference between Blanco and Abe. Blanco plays in a better hitter's park. Let's forget about him. Ballantyne's an okay right fielder on a really, really lousy team. Let's forget about him.
All right.
Do the Giants have a star pitcher who's that dominant?
No.
Abe's the MVP.
Yeah, we're just throwing names out there this week. We can debate it next week, but I just think I'm trying to read what our brethren in the media here are going to do, and I'm saying that I think they're not going to reward Abe again. I think they're going to go in a different direction. But I also think
he's been the best player in the Central League for 3 years.
You and I know that, and I agree. But I'm just trying to read. And the other thing is Tony Blanco. I think he's just had an outstanding season for him. It's something that we hadn't seen from him before, which is good for him. And Coco Ballantyne is doing great things. But I also think Yasuhiro Ryan Ogawa needs to get a vote.
Well, I think
he gets it in third place votes at least.
You know what,
I don't know that he will, but I think he needs
to be a rookie of the year. So that'll be his vote.
Yeah, he's been great. All right, so we will we'll talk about that next week. How's that? We'll debate it next week. Who's going to be the MVP?
Okay.
All right, let's go to fielding questions. Our questions this week come from Kevin in Tokyo. And he says, I'm curious what you all think about players who go by either their first names or katakana when they're Japanese nationals. It seems like simply an attention-getting move. I was never fond of the fact that a certain Ai Suzuki got to have a special first-name jersey in MLB. Here in NPB, I was long curious about what country that Saburo, S-A-B-U-R-O, fellow on Lotte was from, and assumed his name was really like Savro, S-A-V-R-O, or Sabro, S-A-B-R-O, and that he hailed from somewhere in South America, or just fell victim to some mangled katakana version of his real name. So, his question, do you know who first broke the tradition of simply using last names as they actually are and not in different writing styles, like, you know, katakana? And also, what's the T in T Okada of Oryx? If it's for his first name, why not just use Okada? And is the new Hiroshima Hawaiian's last name just so difficult that he had to simply go by Kira? Wow.
Wow.
Lots of questions. All right, so which one do you want to attack first?
Well, who's the first? Is the answer.
Did you say who's on first? No, never mind. Who's the
what?
First? Who's the first?
I don't know. Now you just say third base. Okay. The first player that I'm aware of who used his, well, actually, I guess the first player to use his first name is probably Roger Repo, who, when they asked him what he wanted to be called, he said, just call me Roger. And so, on his uniform, there it was, and registered as Roger. But I think for a Japanese player, that was an accident, and it's kind of a humorous one. And there have been a few examples like that. But I think the player who changed everything was Ichiro Suzuki. Now, the reason they changed it is because his new manager in ahead of the 1994 season was Akira Ogi, who did weird stuff as a matter of course. He liked to do weird stuff, attention-getting stuff. And he had two Suzukis on the team. So he had Ichiro Suzuki and he had another Suzuki, and you know, players have had to use variations of their the first kanji of their first name. Thus, a lot of people think Yamamoto Masahiro's name is Masa because that's what he's registered at, Yamamoto Masa.
Right.
And it's a long story, which good for everybody, I won't get into.
For another day.
Right. For no days, I think. No day is big enough for my stories. So, anyway, he became Ichiro in 1994 and he won an MVP. Okay, so then it kind of took off. And Saburo's case was the same. Saburo was the number one draft choice of the Chiba Lotte Marines in 1994. He was Bobby Valentine's first round pick. Although he wasn't, I don't think Bobby was at the draft. I don't think he was selected. He was named manager until about that time. And when he met the press, he basically said, "Call me Saburo," because there was already an Omura, Iwao Omura, who had the best Chirk Oendon Oenka, the best cheering song ever in Japanese baseball history, was on the team. So he, instead of being S. Omura, he was, or Omura Saburo, he was Saburo. So, and then that became a thing. Whenever you had a player, two players with the same name, it became pretty common for one of them to use his first name. It still is to some degree.
And now, yeah, people just want to do it to set themselves apart. And that's what I heard. I did some asking around, and I heard this similar story about Ichiro and how Ogi thought it was also kind of just such a common name to have Ichiro Suzuki that not only should he get it, he should write it in katakana, which is one of the three written forms of Japanese, you know, not, I guess there are two written forms. One is katakana and the other is hiragana. And then there's kanji. So, he should write it that way to set himself even further apart. And I mean, you know, we've got guys like Ginji Akaminai whose last name is so rare that even Japanese people are like, "What?"
Yeah. And Ginjiro Sumitani of the Lions was known as Ginjiro for a while. I have no idea why.
Right.
When his last name is so much easier to say.
Right. And so in the case of Takahiro Okada, I want to say Arai, Takahiro Okada of the Oryx Buffaloes. Now, you might recall when Akinobu Okada took over as skipper in 2010, Okada was there already on the team. Oh. And Takahiro was supposedly thought of as the future of the franchise, at least this offensive slugger they were going to try to develop, and they wanted to distinguish between the two of them. So
it'd be hard to figure out which is the guy standing in the batter's box and which is the guy talking with reporters on the bench.
Which is exactly what I thought. Okay, yeah, I don't think the manager is the one who struck out five times and then hit a home run the next day. I think we could probably figure it out, but I think it was I don't know. I started calling him T.O. on my blog when I just, you know, Takahiro T.O. Okada, but I was thinking that every time they said T.O. Okada, it always sounded like they were just calling him T.O. to me. Okay. So I just started calling him T.O., but I think that's kind of disrespectful to the real T.O., who is a much better and more impactful player in his sport, but that's another story, too, for another day. So
a well-loved human being as well.
Right. So, and in the case of Kira Kae, I tried to say it smoothly and I couldn't.
Kae Hue.
Of the Carp. I think, yes, his name is probably difficult, but I think in katakana and Japanese, they could probably figure out a way to pronounce it the right way.
Yeah, it would probably be ka-i-hu-e. But it would still be mangled.
Something like that, yeah, something mangled like that. But I think it's just, yeah, it is probably a pronunciation thing. But I hope we can talk to him soon and have him tell us how to pronounce his name and get it on tape.
Yeah, he could probably sing it for us. He's a very likable guy, so he'll oblige us for sure.
Good. All right, so we made it through, man. This was a lot of stuff to try to get into 1 hour.
Yeah, good job, man.
So thank you very much, Kevin, who said he lives near Tokyo Dome and is a Swallows fan.
Hey, oh, sorry, I'm not. No cheering in the in the semi, the temporary press box here in Coenji.
Temporary press box. No, I think emergency, it's a permanent, it's a permanent press box. And I think there you can have as much cheering or as much, in this season for you, I guess it's as much, what, moaning and crying, tears,
what
anguish, whatever you want to do.
No point to be anguished about
it. We're
in
the same boat, bud. So, yeah.
Yep.
We're pretty much in the same boat.
Holes and knowers, baby.
You're just saying that to me because you know me. Holes and no oars.
Well, I don't want to, I don't want to cast aspersions, but.
but don't let that one hit you in the backside. Okay. All right. Well, we're waiting for your MP3 questions as well as any question you want to throw out there. We will do the homework. As you can see, we really did some homework on these questions. So thank you very much, Kevin. Please send your questions or comments to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we'll talk about them on the show. You can also leave us a comment on the Facebook page.
Please, 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 please. Let's hear your voice on the show.
And you know what I really want to ask people to do is start giving their candidates and who they think is going to be MVP in the Central League.
Ah, very good.
This is going to be a really good debate.
You thought of that on your own. Excellent. Good man.
Yeah, I think as we discussed, the Pacific League is probably pretty much wrapped up, but the Central League is going to be interesting. I think they're going to split those. I think it's going to be a race. So we'll see how that goes. All right.
All right.
We will see if Ma Kun can get to 21.
Okay. Now, if he wins this week, it will mean he will have gone an entire calendar year without a loss.
Wow. What a stud.
Like, he doesn't even have to win. He just has to have no decision. So.
Yeah, what a stud. Yeah, or he just has to have his team. Again, they've been scoring runs for him. We'll have to see if he throws on Friday. Did you notice that there was a rain out and they skipped the guy who was supposed to throw the guy who was going to throw on Wednesday through Thursday, but the guy who was going to throw, who was scheduled to throw Thursday, and would have thrown on, was supposed to have thrown on Friday, got pushed back. Yeah. So they're working with him. They're doing everything to keep everything the same, and we'll see if he can keep the streak going. We're rooting for him. I think a lot of people are rooting for him. I saw some TV programs,
yeah.
And a lot of people want him to
get. Yeah, there were some nice words from Kazumi Saito, whose record he broke by going 16-0 at the start of the season, basically saying, yeah, more power to him. It's quite difficult, and, you know, an honor to be associated with him.
Yeah. All right. So we will see if he can get there. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks a lot for listening, and enjoy your baseball.
Talk to you next week.